You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's got to 2-2 and we've still got more than half an hour to go, and here's Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil!
Yo!
Could it went left, but it went right. Could it went wrong, but it went right. Said it was Ian, but it went right.
Now we
got bars on bars on site. MVP in the
night,
to the negative to positive.
We're heading for a classic in the paper. Final.
Man could have had that fight, but I'm in walk on sight. Man had to grab that mind. You're not gonna spit this time. Trying to work with a good energy.
They're behind.
Man
gonna
work with a bad man vibe. None of these guys can't do
it.
Hello and welcome to another Touchy Newness podcast, issued by Dan Cooks on hosting duty today, and I'm joined by my good friend Lou Bob. How you doing, my man?
Let's fucking go, guys! Let's fucking go! Where is that fucking Sam Hukar? Augie, get him on this fucking podcast right fucking now. I want his head on a fucking stake. And that Alexis Kavkas as well. Where the fuck is Alexis Kavkas? Mr. Middleton, where are you? Dan Sof, where are you? All right, so Sasha Gunn is patron, so it's quite understandable that these men wouldn't be on the pod.
Yeah,
but still.
I need all of these men in a pack. Every single one of them in a fucking pack, man. In a pack like this.
What a game, man. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I was just saying to you offline that if there's one team that I want packed and potioned, it's this Chelsea team. Like, you know, I like to banter Spurs fans. I like to banter United fans, you know, but I got, like, do you know what I mean? I don't really mind them as much. Like, I despise Chelsea from the pits of my soul. I despise the fans, all of it. Every single one of them, I need them in a fucking blender right now, man. And this win has given me so much joy. It's given me so much joy because this was a potential banana skin, you know, as well. Like, it was kind of a banana skin.
And do you know what? I had the biggest fears. Like, I was saying to work colleagues earlier, you know, like, this is the game where Chelsea have done niche this season, like, absolutely fuck all, you know, and like, they could potentially ruin our season, and it could be like one of those games that, you know what, and then they have something to celebrate, like, ha ha, we ruined your title chances, like that kind of shit. I'm so glad because we had people bookmarking, we had people ready to start chatting shit, and they've been well and truly humbled tonight. They are quaking in their boots because they know they are so far away from us. So far away from us. Absolutely blended tonight. Yeah. Like, unbelievable. They're just, have they even come out? Like, I ain't heard any of them talk nothing. Like, I've not seen any of them about.
Oh, they got sent back to Chelsea Road, man. They got sent back to, what's that? They got sent back to Raffles and that, yeah.
King's Road and that.
Welcome, Shabs, man. Shabs, you were at the game as well today, weren't you? So
none of these Chelsea fans are from Kings Road anyway.
I'm still in the vicinity. And yeah, man, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. What a victory. What a resounding win. Yeah. And when you got a performance to match, I swear down, I'm drinking in it. I just see Sate as well. So yeah, we're all high on the vibes. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'm gonna mute because there's some noise in my background, but I'm here.
All right, cool.
Sorry, I was listening to voice notes.
There's too much going on, man.
If you can't tell, I'm floating right now, man. I'm floating. So I don't know. Should we do the normal format on this? Yeah.
However you want to do it, man.
Let's do the normal format, man. Let's start with David Wright at the back, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Perfect. Brilliant. Let's move on.
Oh, hey, you don't want to give DR no problem.
Hey,
no?
He was good, man. I said he was good. I said he was good. What else do we need to say, bruv? What else do we need to say? We don't need to.
Yeah, you made some good. What's the number, Lewis? What's the number?
Did he make any good saves today?
Can I get a number, please?
Did he make any good saves today?
I think it was pretty good in that.
There was one he made in the first half.
Tipped it onto the post, I think.
No, I think Gabriel. I think he just hit him. He didn't though. But he was good. He was good. I'll give him a solid 7.5 out of 10. He was very good. But Chelsea didn't hit the target with any shots, so I can't say he was amazing. Do you know what I mean? Like he claimed everything, was good in possession, but yeah, I can't give you more than a 7 out of 10 if you ain't got any shots to face, big man. You know what I'm saying? So.
What did he need to do to get an 8?
Make a save.
I respect it. There were a lot of Brexit guys around me as well. Hey, Coops, I don't know who you're allowed to sit around you. A lot of Brexit guys here just having the heaviest. They were having the heaviest dialogue about Ramsdale for like the first 35 minutes. I swear down. And then they were like, oh, "We can't sign this guy in the summer, man. We can't sign this guy. No, we got to go back to Ramsdale." I thought he ain't done nothing wrong. His distribution was absolutely fine. He caught everything in the air. Like, he was absolutely fine today. I swear down. People just, I don't understand why it's difficult just saying, yeah, actually, he's played well today, despite not having a lot to do.
No, he's definitely. But this has been a common theme for his games anyway. Like, he's had these games, like this kind of game today, he's had it like 15 times this season.
Fair.
No saves, but done everything else pretty well.
15th clean sheet as well. That, to be fair to him, is very, very.
There you go. There you go. The 15th. I got it. Bang on.
Spot on.
That has now actually guaranteed him the Golden Glove as well. Nice. The next person's on 9 with 4 games to go. So.
He's definitely got better as the season's gone on. 100%. As the season's gone on, like nobody could dispute that. But at the same time, nobody should also dispute that he was throwing the ball in the net in the first or attempting to in the first 10-15 games of the season. Like if I can be fair, everyone else should be fair as well.
Yeah. I think so. I think Chelsea, yeah, it's a funny one because I know that Chelsea seemed kind of dangerous in that first half, but I didn't really have that same fear like that, if you get what I mean, that they were going to do something, you know, like every time the ball dropped to Jackson, I'm just there thinking like, yo, big man, I don't feel like we're in danger here. Do you know what I mean?
That's how teams feel against us when Jesus is there, bro.
Bro. Let's stick to Chelsea's
thunder. You know what it is. They have a lot of pace, and they did look threatening on the transition. With whatever Mudryk does as a footballer, yeah, that's one thing. But in terms of his speed and Madueke, like, and Jackson, they were just threatening because they're athletic, they run, so it looks problematic when they're running at you. But there weren't too many situations. Their decision making in the final third is poor. It's horrendous. There weren't too many situations where, you know, they were threatening at all. And if, I don't know, if trickery is a currency, then yeah, Madueke is what they want. But he just would do these like step overs and flicks and flaps that just did nothing. They amount to nothing all the time, and he just lay off an easy pass after that and didn't do anything. I think we were just good value for the money with our defence in total, man. We never ever really looked stressed despite the fact that they had some silly openings in the first half. So yeah, credit to the back line, really.
Yeah. I thought Ben White was top quality today, man. And I'm not just saying that because he scored. I was even saying before he scored tonight, I thought he was playing out of his skin. You know, the timing of the overlaps, you know, he was so confident in possession, like playing out of trouble, just top quality. He was winning the ball so high up the pitch today. Many a time he was just like getting in front of who was he up against? Mudryk. Mudryk actually looked quite decent, but I thought White handled him very well, beat him to the punch so many times, you know, like when the ball was getting into Mudryk's feet and White would just be there, you know, snapping at his ankles, winning that ball, high up the pitch. That's one thing I thought we did today that I haven't seen us do for quite a few weeks now, is this whole winning the ball high up the pitch stuff. You know, I see Rice doing it, Ben White doing it, Gabriel, even Partey at times was winning the ball up quite high. And as the first half came to a close and we were at halftime, I was thinking, "Ish, the second half's going to be a bit of a struggle," because I saw us tiring in the first half. So I thought maybe that might stop and Chelsea would have their period. But my God, was I wrong? I don't know where we got that second burst of energy in the second half. We were unbelievable,
mate. It's so funny because it's like that was our 8th game in 14 days or something like that, right? And it's like, Chelsea, they've not been playing midweek. You know, I know they had a semi-final a couple of days ago, but, you know, these players, what, they probably played, what, like 40 games, 45 games, you know, compared to us, like, I think we're in the 50s now in all competitions and that. And so, you know, I'm looking at this and thinking, yeah, today could be a potential banana skin. We've seen what our second half performances have been like in recent weeks. And then, you know, it probably started from the last 10 minutes against Aston Villa. We found that second wind. And in this second half, I think once we scored that second goal, I feel like Chelsea almost gave up, kind of thing. And then we just went for the jugular. And, you know, some of the goals that we scored today, that Ben White, the second goal, just, it got me off my seat, you know. And I'm sitting in my living room. and I stood up. You know, I'm just, because that's a fantastic assist from Odegaard. You know, I'm happy that Ben White, you know, is getting his plaudits, because for me, he's probably team of the season right back, you know. I think Trent started the season, you know, very, very well. He's been out for a long while now. And I think, yeah, Ben White, he's got to be in for a shout with team of the season for me, 100%.
Yeah, I'm thinking who would be his like closest competitor with that, because like Trippier hasn't been as good this season, like you said about Trent, who's been playing Man City, like Akanji. I don't know, I don't think you'd put him up there with Ben White as being like better than him this season. Who else? Like, I don't really know. Who else would you? Walker? I don't know.
I don't think there's a valid.
I think it's only Trent.
Trent for his quality and what he provides. Yeah, I think that's where.
I guess Chelsea fans will try to say Gusto.
Nah, impossible.
Let's get a grip here.
You know, Chelsea fans will try that though. Chelsea fans will try it, but
they're sick.
That's right. I wanted him to play today because. Yeah, it's true. But that's why it's so fun dunking on them, because they're actually insane. The most delusional bunch of fans.
Yeah, listen.
But yeah, man.
Listen, let's step through the team. Yeah, let's step through the team, because I think we're just on cloud nine floating on the mic at the moment. Yeah. So yeah. So yeah, listen, the centre backs, I thought Saliba in the first half was having a bit of a 50-50 battle with Jackson. You know, Jackson got a better of him a few times. Saliba, you know, got him back a couple of times. But I think it seemed like Jackson.
I think you're being fair. Right. I think you're being harsh.
Do you think
on Jackson? I think he had Saliba halfway.
I was going to say. I think Jackson was winning the battle at half time. Yeah. And then second half, I don't know what happened, but he just became food. You know, just became food. Because I think there was a couple of times he robbed the ball from Saliba. Then I see him, you know, pace him down the wing. You know, and then he's popping up in the box, doing weird sort of sassy headers with his hand and all of this stuff at the goal. Then I think after we got a second goal, I think they basically just... yeah, for real. I don't know what that was, yeah. But then, I think second half, he just became a non-entity. There was even one moment, actually, I'm just thinking, where Jackson's, like, he, like, took a touch, like, sat down Gabriel, had him eating grass, and then... That horrible, horrible finish at the near post into the side netting. That guy stinks. I'll just tell you that now, man. He stinks.
He's a problem, though, man. He's a problem. He's a real, real headache. And, like, I don't know. I find them players so difficult to judge because it's like they clearly are so threatening. Like, they're going to get so many chances. But ultimately, your job as a striker is to put the ball in the back of net. But I look at someone like a Højlund, who people would say is probably better than a Jackson, but he's nowhere near as threatening as Jackson. Like, if you want to play against a striker, yeah, you would rather play against a Højlund than you would against a Jackson. Even if you think Jackson's going to miss, he's one of those chances, he's going to score. And he gets so many that he just makes off of his own back. And he's only 22 as well. So, I don't know. I kind of like him. I think anyone who could put Gabriel on their bum, you know, and have up Saliba for a whole first half, I think deserves some credit. But fuck them, man, anyway. But, yeah. It wasn't Gabriel and Saliba's best day, but... ultimately they got the clean sheet and I think they defended very well in the second half, very aggressive. They could have said, you know what, we're a bit shook, you know, they could have said we're a bit shook, you know, Jackson's got the better of us a few times, but they didn't. They stayed on the halfway line. They said, you know what, we're going to keep doing it and we're going to keep meeting you there, you know. And it paid dividends in the second half because we ran right over them, absolutely ran right over them.
Yeah, Shab, what's your thoughts on the centre backs?
Yeah, I think it's much of what Lou said, but Gab just loves to defend, man. Like, you watch this guy, like, he's just out there having the time of his life, yeah, doing all the dirty work. Like, he's that dark arts defender that we've been crying out for years. And he's starting to get away with it now. You know, back in the day, he used to do calamity stuff, but he used to do the calamity stuff like in and around the box. He's doing the calamity stuff. So I saw him like slap some guys like in the back of their necks and stuff, but he was doing it like around the halfway line. So it's okay. It's different. But yeah, man, he loves to different. I do think Jackson, like I was saying earlier in terms of like Chelsea, their transitional threat. And I do think Jackson kept him busy, but where I was sat was behind him or his side really for the first half. He looked comfy, man. He didn't really look troubled to me. I think a little bit more so Saliba at moments, but also they both done some brilliant stuff as well, like just super composed. There's a moment in the first half where you know, the ball drops in our box. I can't remember who plays it into him. Someone plays it into Gab, and you know, I think it's Tomiyasu who's in our box, and Gab just picks out a pass. I think he finds Ødegaard with just like a little crossfield floater, like 20 yards out, and just like calm, and just like we progress the play up the field, like it's just super easy. So these, and then Saliba had moments as well where he's just again like on the ball, just super calm, super composed. He'd draw a player in, and then he'd just drop a shoulder and go the other way. He doesn't play like a centre back. in possession, Saliba. So, yeah, man, they were just very, very, very comfy. Looked very good, man. I'm not giving them anything less than sevens out of tens.
Fair play. And then moving on to Tomiyasu as well. So he came back after he was out, like, has had this, you know, random knock. Who did we against Wolves? Which was a bit surprising to me, to be honest. But I thought he had a mixed bag as well. It's funny because, like, our defense kind of, they had us a little bit rocked at times. But then I thought going forward, Tomiyasu was, he looked kind of sick. You know, I liked some of the play down the left-hand side, him, Trossard, Rice. I thought they combined really well. And I thought overall it was a good performance. I hope that he didn't get subbed off because of an injury. I know he took some long treatment on the sidelines and then shortly after that was subbed off for Zinchenko. But I think it's quite good to have Tomiyasu back and available for these last four games, especially for today, and I think especially for the games against Spurs and United, because we know that's where they have their biggest threats on the counter-attack.
Yeah.
Luba, what do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's good if he is fit and available, but I'm not sure I could use those two adjectives with Tomiyasu. So, he did get cooked a bit by Madueke. But, you know, it can happen. These men are, like, rapid, like, absolutely rapid. I don't think Tomiyasu looked... Has he looked like he lost a yard? Or is Madueke actually that quick? Because I don't ever remember Tommy getting put on burners like that. But maybe Madueke is, like, you know, he is really, really fast. So it could potentially be that. But, yeah, no. I mean, if he's fit and he's available... You know, then I think he should start the remainder of the season because he isn't going to have to play Madueke every week with that kind of turn of foot. So he should be fine. And yeah, in the final third and in possession, he looked super sharp and calm. So yeah, I've got no qualms about him playing. I thought he was fine. Steady.
What rating would you give him? The game,
I'll give him a
six. Yeah, fair.
Yeah, this ain't fucking cop end, bruv. They'd be giving Tomiyasu an 8 out of 10 for today on cop end.
Yeah, they would still. They really would. Shabs, anything you want to add on?
What are you giving him?
I'll probably give him a 7.
Yeah, I'm giving them a say. I think a six is harsh, Lou. I think a six is harsh, man. Again, maybe not a remarkable performance, but again, I just think he's done some really basic things really well. And we look comfy with him. I think he's our best option at left back to close out the season. I do think Madueke is quick. I think that's a good point. Madueke is quick. Like I said, he looks like a tricky player, but he's not decisive enough. And I think a lot of that worked in Tomiyasu's favour. I think at times in the first half, Chelsea tried to target the left. And Tomiyasu made some really good recovery runs. There was one where he's, you know, running towards goal. And he intercepted it with a cushioned header when they targeted his flank. There was another where... Again, they targeted his flank and he just took the ball out of the air, controlled, running back at full speed and then just sticks his leg out and brings the ball down, really composed, plays a nice, simple pass. He was just effective without being like kind of extravagant or whatever. He was effective. I think there were moments as well where he read what Chelsea were trying to do, jumped in front of the players high up the pitch to intercept the pass and start some of our attacks. He was just for me very assured. He looked a bit more comfortable coming inside. Definitely more comfortable, playing inside than Kivior. And yeah, man, I'd give him a 7 out of 10. I think he was unremarkable, but he done his job today. I'm happy with what he done.
Yeah, fair play. So let's move on to midfield because I think that's where most of our sort of starring players featured today, right? So we had Thomas Partey, in the six, Declan Rice, left eight, Martin Odegaard, right eight, Partey, second start since August. Last start was Luton home. Got the game again. Arteta, you know, deciding to rotate a bit against lower league opposition, a little bit, and it paid dividends, right? It paid dividends because for me, other party on the ball, you could just see he is different gravy, bruv. He is levels, you know, like all of this Jorginho talk and stuff like that, all of this, the Declan Rice stuff as well, to be honest. Yeah, it's you just see levels when party is there on the pitch. You know, I think a lot of our good play came through him. But then on the flip side, I thought you sort of seen that this guy is super rusty. You know, I think I saw more slide tackles from Thomas Partey in that first half than I've seen in a long, long time. When he's, you know, fit and firing, I think that says to, you know, where he's at physically at the moment. But, you know, I think it was really good to see some of the balls, some of the passes that he was playing. You know, I think for the, I can't remember which goal it is, but one of the goals in the second half, he plays a nicely fizzed out pass out to the right-hand side for Saka. Then, you know, even for the first goal, one-touch pass out to Declan Rice, you know, really good play. So I thought Partey was a strong seven in this match. You know, pretty, pretty good on the ball. Some question marks off it, but hopefully that's a fitness thing. And maybe, you know, we still are able to get him to contribute in a major way in these last four games. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I thought he was superb on the ball, man. Like that's the party we all know, and like that's the party that we all expected to come into the season and see him, Rice, Odegaard. Like that is the midfield we wanted to see. And I can't believe we're in game week 34. Are we game week 34? That was game week 34. And that is the first time we have seen that midfield combination in the league. That is utterly outrageous. Yeah, utterly outrageous. And, you know, I think we were super fluid. Like you could just tell that there was an option all over the pitch. And it's you know, Partey, he's not like a, he's not a Pogba who is kind of like, and that he does on the ball is so, what's the word? Like it's difficult. Like Pogba does very difficult things, you know. Partey does very simple things, but it's just I find it difficult to describe his play because he's not like he doesn't do very very difficult things, but he just always makes the right decision with a pass, always perfectly weighted. You know, he does things in like one motion. You know, sometimes you look at Rice playing the six and he wants to take a touch like that pass he does for the first goal. I don't think Rice plays that. I don't think Rice plays that pass. Mm. And he definitely doesn't do it in one touch. But that makes all the difference because when you're trying to shift teams around, you need that player to move the ball quickly. And I don't think there's many players better in the Premier League at moving the ball quickly and vertically than Thomas Partey. You know, he is fantastic at that. And yeah, man, I think that was one of the most fluid games we've seen from our midfield, you know, in terms of just finding angles in the middle of the pitch, you know, just the passes always being on point, perfect weight all the time, you know, rebounding off each other, bouncing off of each other, playing one twos. You know, I love that shit. It's just fluid. It's good to see him back, but yeah, I share your thoughts with him physically because there was a few times, you know, but that could also be him playing what third or fourth game in like a year. So it could also be that, you know, and also he's getting on a bit. He could also be cooked. I don't know, but you know, he's not worse physically than Jorginho. And I'll tell you, I think the gap between him and Jorginho on the ball is big. It's big for me. It really is. I'm not hearing what anyone else has to say about that because I've seen both of them with my own two eyes. No one can tell me that Jorginho does stuff on the ball like that Partey can't, you know, I don't see it. So yeah, man, give me Partey in the middle of the park for the rest of the season, please.
Sure. Chaps, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I agree that I agree with Lewis. I do think I'm erring on the side of he looks like this physically because he's just not played enough football. That's what it is for me. There is an argument, and I've said it a couple of times. I think Partey is finished, but I don't think he's this finished. Like, the way he looked today was a player who's just not match fit at all. And again, you know, you've got to ask questions about why he's only being used now. I genuinely believe, on the evidence of that performance, I believe, like, you know, if we used him in recent weeks in some of those games, we Villa, Bayern Munich, I think our outcomes would have been very different. I'm not going to lie to you. I think the whole dynamic is different. The midfield is the most balanced when you've got Rice, Odegaard and Partey. I think what you ask Odegaard to do is completely different when Partey is playing versus when he's not playing. Odegaard can actually just focus on higher positioning and just getting the ball where he needs to get the ball and making stuff happen at that end of the pitch. You know, so yeah, I think on the ball he was quality, and I echoed that several times. I think off the ball he looked a bit susceptible, slow to make challenges. Sometimes he threw himself in there. Sometimes he's trying to win the ball back on the wrong side of his man, of his opponent. But yeah, by and large, I think he done a really good job, and I think, you know, a large part of the reason why we were able to play the way that we did today. So yeah, man, I'm breaking him. I'd probably give him a 7.5. I think it was a little, considering like the injury of Tomiyasu as well. I think you know, these players kind of coming back into the fold. I gave Tommy a 7. I think I'll give Partey just that bit much more because I think he was more involved and more central to the way that we played. So I'd give him a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, fair play. So then we'll move on to the centre back playing in midfield, according to some guys on the Touchline Network, in Declan Rice. You know, who I thought had another solid game, you know, up against a guy who's a better midfielder than him in Conor Gallagher, and he hammed Conor Gallagher to death today, nicked the ball off him several times.
Three better midfielders than him, no?
Yeah, of course. All three of them. And then he put them to shame, really, you know, started in the fourth minute, spinning Alfie Gilchrist out of his socks to assist Leandro Trossard. I thought he might have slightly overhit the pass to Trossard, but Trossard's touch and finish was absolutely excellent. And then I thought he had just a very, very good, solid game. You know, the press, the leading the press, him, Odegaard, Havertz, exceptional, won the ball high up the pitch, deep in the pockets, out wide in the channels, driving with the ball. You know, I see him spin Enzo out his socks as well with one pirouette. And if he bins that, yeah, oh my God, I would have literally flown. Bro. I would have flown. Yeah. Odegaard set him up for another chance hitting across the keeper. But I thought, yeah, that was a great game from Rice today, man. I thought that was like an 8 out of 10 for me. You know, I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was, man. And I tell you one thing that really impressed me about Rice. I think we all came in at halftime and we thought, oh, you know, this game could get a little bit sticky if we don't rise at second half. Like, we need to get that second goal. We need to rise it. What is Rice doing first 10 minutes of the second half? Absolutely fucking rising it. You know, like, he just found this boost of energy that got us up the pitch. I think he... one of the first moves he does is he puts Gallagher in a spliff, robs Gallagher in the middle of the park. You know, I think those kind of things, it sets the tone for that half, and it sets the tone of how you're going to play. You need players like that to really rise it and say, you know what? Nah, this is how we're going to play. We're going to play high up the pitch. And everyone will just kind of follow suit after that when you've got someone leading by example. And I think when you've got Rice, you've got Odegaard doing that. And And even Havertz. Havertz does it as well. He leads by example. Whatever you may think about him technically or, you know, or him as a footballer, nobody could dismiss that what Havertz does off the ball is very, very good. Very, very, very good. And I think those three really set the tone in the second half of how we're going to, you know, approach the game going forwards. And yeah, man, like that's just set the tone for us being completely devastating in the next 45 minutes, basically. Yeah, he was top. 8 out of 10 for me. 8.5, I would say. Absolutely put 3 better midfielders than him in a spliff. Centre back Declan Rice. Never would have thought it.
Mm. Shabs, your thoughts on Rice?
There's not really a lot more to say than that.
Okay, I'll let you open the floor on the man of the match in Martin Odegaard then.
Just sensational. Superior football player. Like I said when I was waxing Liverpool about Partey, he was just in a... Odegaard was just positioned today to just do his job, which was focus on creating, focus on disrupting and destabilising that Chelsea back line. He was brilliant, man. Like, the result wasn't really flattering. I don't think the final result was the final scoreline was a true reflection of the game as well. I think we could have easily, you know, gone 7-8 for Chelsea. We fluffed chances before that second half flurry, and we fluffed a lot of chances after as well. But for me, for most of the chances that we created, for most of the good stuff that we done in Chelsea's attacking final third, Odegaard was central to it, man. Like, for me, he was amazing. Amazing, like absolutely top tier performance today. Captain's performance again, led the press. What Lou was saying about Rice in the first half looking a bit leggy and lethargic, I think that applied to a few players. And then when you see us second half, from the outset, really, really, really kind of back to our press, like really closing Chelsea down. We won it back a couple of times as well from high positions again, like we spoke about earlier. Again, Odegaard central to that in terms of leading that press and making that stuff happen. So yeah, for me, all good things today in an attacking and creative sense flowed through him, and this is what we need. This is exactly what we need. This is how we kind of need to play. This is how he needs to be freed up for the remainder of the running. So just, you know, long may it continue.
And Lou, Odegaard's thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with everything Shab said, man. He is our fucking captain, man. He leads by example. Since what, October? We're going to say maybe since October, he has just produced game after game after game after game after a game of like straight 8 out of 10s. You know, this level of consistency, not many players have been able to replicate that over a whole season, you know. And he hasn't got the goals that he got last year, you know, so it probably won't get him it's funny, like if he'd got like more goals this season, he'd probably been in the conversation for like player of the season. Because you can't tell me, like, people will say Cole Palmer be like player of the season. You can't tell me Cole Palmer's been better than Odegaard. People will talk about James Maddison. He hasn't been better than Martin Odegaard this season, you know. So yeah, goals kind of skew things, but yeah, man, he's the best midfielder in the Premier League, isn't it? So,
absolutely split them today. I'll do Saka quickly. I thought he was pretty good. You know, he was lively. Played at the, you know, same level as the rest of the team. Probably should have left with a goal or an assist today. I don't think he got either, which is a little disappointing. Arteta subbed him for Vieira, which I quite liked, around the 80th minute mark or something like that. But I thought that was a strong performance from Saka, despite no goals and assists. I thought, you know, Cucurella started the game, you know, very aggressive on him. You know, I see people talking, oh, Cucurella does well against him, da 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 da. But then I think Saka, he sort of took that personal kind of thing and then really just dialed it up a little bit. And then Cucurella was shook, you know, got him booked, well, got himself booked either, like trying to take the ball away. And then after that, he was finished. You know, Saka spun him one time inside the box. And basically, I think once Saka had the ball, he basically had his way with Cucurella. After that, not necessarily, you know, beating him 1v1, but he gave him so much yardage that every time he came inside, there's a pass on, there's a cross on, there's you know, an exit that he didn't necessarily have in the first 15 minutes. So I thought it was a strong game from Saka. I like that performance, and I'll give him a 7, I think.
Yeah, no, Saka is good. And I think it shows the importance of... Because that's what fullbacks do to Saka. Like, early doors, they, like, go down his Achilles, you know, have a nibble at his ankles, go down the back of him, you know. And referees normally give them 2-3 before a booking comes out. And I know Cucurella wasn't actually booked for the foul that he did on Saka. He got booked for carrying the ball away, but... It serves him right. He's a dickhead. So I would have been fuming if that was my left back up against Saka. Do you know what I mean? Imagine if Zinchenko got a yellow card up against fucking, you know, any winger in the first 15 minutes for fucking carrying the ball away. You would have thought you were absolute div, you know? Get him off. And yeah, Cucurella might as well not been on the pitch after that fucking... yellow card, because he was so scared to get anywhere near Saka. But it's good. Saka looked sharp, and I was happy to see that. And you know, I thought he looked good against Wolves. Yeah, he looked good against Wolves. He's starting to show signs that he's coming back to his old self now, I think, and that's good news for us coming into the back end of the season.
Yeah. Go on, Chebs.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's probably a personal disappointment that he didn't leave with a goal or assist. I said it early in the game, early in the first half. Just the way that he was shaping up against Cucurella, I thought it was good value for a goal or an assist. I thought he would leave the game with something today. Deserved it. I think had a chance or two in the first half. And I think was generous in the second half as well, in terms of kind of giving up the ball, looking for his teammates when he was in the box, when he did have it in threatening positions. But fair play, you know, the team wins is the most important thing. But yeah, again, I think he was just shaping up. And if he can give this level of performance, this type of performance for the running again, then yeah, it kind of bodes well with the goals and with the assists, with the output, of course. But yeah, I think the stuff that he done with the ball at his feet was good. He looked aggressive again and whatnot. And yeah, he got kicked about the place as well a little bit too today. And yeah, he just got up and got on with it.
Lovely stuff. So then last two players that we'll talk about, obviously Netters on the day. Trossard opens the scoring with a nice goal. He sort of saw, after that, I think he sort of saw this game as a bit of a jolly up, to be honest. He was trying lots of fancy flicks. He probably was unfortunate not to end up with a brace of his own, but I really liked that goal. Calmed the nerves, nice early goal, good first touch. Quality finish off his left foot. You know, I think it's a very similar goal to the one he scored against Liverpool. Similar finish, at least. And yeah, I thought Trossard was great in this match as well. And I'm not, you know, a massive fan of him out wide. But boy, for me, that Alfie Gilchrist, it was a mismatch. Today it was a complete mismatch, you know. I think from the first minute he didn't really know how to deal with Trossard, and you know, Trossard took full advantage of that. So I'll probably give Trossard an 8 for today as well.
Yeah, I thought he looked good, man. I thought he looked really sharp. It's always confusing with Trossard because I never know whether he's actually fast or not. But I think he is fast. It just, you know, because there was a time where he tracked back against Madueke and he went stride for stride with Madueke. I think he even got Madueke off the ball. Like really, really good defending. And that's, you know, something that he's in, looks like he's improving on. But yeah, man, there's Trossard in the final third. We've said it since he arrived. Fucking cash money. It's, you know, he doesn't. That's why his miss against who did he miss that chance against? Was it not Bayern? Was it Bayern? Who was the game that he missed that big chance against?
Aston Villa.
Aston Villa? Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Either way, if it was Aston Villa, that's why when he missed that big chance against Villa, everyone was so shocked. But that, you can't really name many of those occasions where Trossard is missing chances. He just doesn't miss really. I think he's a really good player to have around. I mean, he's got 10 goals this season in the league, and he's not even a regular starter like that. So, yeah, big up him, man. I think he gets goals in like key parts of games as well, which I really, really like. He's got that cold-blooded killer instinct shit going on, which I think you need if you want to be a top team. You've got to have players like that. Historically, we've not always had that type of player. I think he's got that cold-blooded kind of instinct in front of goal. And you always need one of those on the pitch, I think. So regardless of the rest of his game, which I think was absolutely fine today, I think he actually put in a really good performance all round. Yeah, happy of him, man. Happy of him. Keep him around.
Shaps, anything you want to add on Trossard? And then you can start us on Havertz.
I say it time and again, you know, sometimes, often, I question Trossard's impact. You know, if he's not had output, like a goal or assist output in the game, what has his impact and influence on the game been? I don't think it's harsh. I think there are many games you can apply that question to and for. But, yeah, today I think he was good. Yeah. Probably the mismatch had something to do with it, but I just think Trossard did all the right things. You know, he stretched, held his position really well, always offered an option for a pass, made good use of the ball as well when he did have it. I think he linked and combined quite well with Tomiyasu, linked and combined quite well with Rice as well. I think he quite likes playing with Havertz as well. If you think about what we've said in the last couple of weeks as well about our right-hand side dynamic versus our left-hand side dynamic, it didn't feel like we suffered any of those issues today. I think Partey was a big part of that. Rice playing left eight was a big part of that. So I think Trossard as well was a massive part of that, just because of how intelligent his use was. And I understand Lou's question as well, like you don't understand whether he's a quick footballer or not. I don't think he's a quick footballer, you know. He's just, he's got that operation speed. So he looks like, you know, he makes decisions in his mind really quickly. He's got a very good reading of the game. He kind of knows where he needs to be. I think he does his share of the work defensively. Maybe not so much in tackles, but he reads and anticipates where the ball's going to go and will make interceptions and cut out passes in that way. There was a moment, I think it was in the first half as well, where I couldn't see who it was, but someone came near the end of the first half and a Chelsea player came flying in on him at the touchline. The ball goes out for a throw-in and he just turned around and just G'd up the crowd as well. And it was just like, yeah, like everyone just got, you know, went crazy. But yeah, in the box, Trossard is cash money. And again, we need him. It was Gilchrist. Yeah, in the box, he's cash money. We need this guy for the running. You know, we need him for the running. Because again, I think this is our best. This is the team that started today, I think that's our best, our strongest 11. So that's kind of who I want to see for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, fair play. And you start us off on Kai Havertz, Shebs.
Oh, man. The guy infuriated me. I'm not going to lie to you. He infuriated me because it was... I was at the Villa game, and I feel like that pass through was, you know, he was on every time and good value for it, and he just needed to convert. And today, with the chances that were falling to him, he was giving me shades of that. But he done almost everything right, but his usage of the ball in the box was frustrating. Sometimes just delaying on the shot. Sometimes he should have taken the shot for himself, but he'd pass. Decision-making was poor. But then somehow he ends the game with two goals. And the goals that he took were really good. You know, and he probably, he could have had a hat-trick. He could have had four goals today. You know, so that's that. You look at that, you look at his overall performance, you say, well, he played well, used his body well, you know, done all the things you'd need from a, you know, from a focal point, target forward, linked well, brought others into play, defended well, and scored two goals against his former, against his former employees, Chelsea. So, you know, for me, that's luxury tax. Havertz getting two goals, that's luxury tax, man. That's like bonus goals for me. Like, this is like, in my mind, he scored a hat-trick today just because it's against Chelsea. So, I'm not going to knock him too much, man. I'm not. He done his thing. He left with two goals. He left with something, and he could have got more. So I'm very happy with that in the end. But yeah, very frustrating to watch at times. And I think this sums up the polarization of Havertz in terms of the debates that have been going on about him all season long. Is he good? Is he not? There's so many little things that he does. Well, not so many, but there are little things that he does that are really good. And then there are things that he does where you're like, oh, this guy is flipping shit, man. Like, what the fuck? But, you know, he walks off with another two goals. He's putting Jesus to shame, you know. And what did I say? My number was 12. I said, if he gets 12 goals this season, that's a good return. For how the season started, where he went like 3-4 months without a goal. 12 goals for him, for me, that's a good return. Decent return. I think he's... What's he on? Has he hit that? What's he on now in terms of league goals with these two today?
He's up to 11.
He's going to notch
12, boy. He's going to notch 12, 100%. So I'll be happy. I can justify that 65 mil. You know? I can do that. Just about. But yeah. So yeah, that's it, man. I'm not going to say anything more about Havertz. This is kind of like where I peak in terms of praise for the kid today. But yeah, man, well done. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him, definitely. I'll be posting him shamelessly on Instagram. Don't worry. I'll be posting him on stories saying, yeah, Gunners, yeah. Come on, man. You know how we do. Yeah.
Love it. Right, lads. We'll leave it there for today. Five-star performance, five-star blamming on the Chessy head toss. I'm still grinning right now, man. I'm still grinning. I know I'm going to be floating into my desk tomorrow morning. Thought we'd record this one for you patrons as a little bonus with the main pod coming out tomorrow. Just so you get that for your commute, man. Get that for your commute there, commute home, and then you'll tuck into the main pod as well.
Maybe even before you go to bed, because I know if I'll be struggling to sleep tonight, I can't lie. So
yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'll slap this on ASAP, to be honest. And then yeah, we'll catch you a massive game on Saturday as well, right? But before that, we'll catch you with the main pod. And then it's over to North London Derby, man. Hopefully we can make it five star week. Ed. So, yeah, Lewis, Shabs, thanks for joining me, brothers.
Peace. 2-2, and we've still got more than half an hour to go, and here's Ozil. Lacazette, Ozil!
Yo! Could it went left, but it went right. Could it went wrong, but it went right. Said it was Ian, but it went right. Man, it's bars on bars on sight. MVP in the night. Tell them to get a deposit in.
We're heading for a classic in the paper. Final.
Man could have had that fight, but I'm in walk on sight. Man had to dab that man. You're not gonna spit this time. Trying to work with a good energy. Man trying to work with a bad man vibe. None of these guys can't
see it. It's amazing. It's Aaron Ramsey.
Sports Social Podcast Network.